Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, we took a bit of a mental health day yesterday. We're coming back, and we have some mailbag questions to answer. We have some. Alex Caruso season in review to get to. There's a Drew Holiday rumor floating around out there. I'm just wondering, have you been able to think about basketball even a little bit?
Absolutely not. No. No, this was a election day felt like a 12 to 20 hour game seven. Yeah. It's just excruciating in its ups and downs, and especially the way the votes get tallied, right? And when, which votes are tallied and where, made it. But yeah. No, basketball has not been on my mind.
I forced myself to think about it today. I even turned on the trade machine just to like,
oh, nice.
It was this morning, right? So there was there were the results that came in overnight. And then I hopped on, you know, you saw that there was going to be a bit of a gap, but before the next kind of round of information was going to start falling through. And so I just said, you know what? Doom scrolling Twitter and just switching channel to channel isn't particularly healthy. So I did the next healthiest thing and looked at like what the Lakers' chances are at piecing together Drew Holiday's seemingly never-ending amount of money that he's owed this next season. So it's been a wholly productive day in the Irwin household.
I'm glad you were able to get your mind off of all this.
This has been, you know, we've talked about, obviously we covered the Lakers championship and the Dodgers win the World Series. And then whatever the outcome is of this election, my heart is just telling me, dude, you got to knock this shit out. You got to stop getting so stressed over all this stuff. So hopefully everybody out there has been able to kind of stress manage it as best they possibly can. Cause I know this was probably the most loaded election, emotionally loaded election of our lifetimes. I would probably say.
Yeah. And there's still a lot of work to be done. I mean, we will end up an even worse place in this country if we don't do a lot of work over these next 4 years to make people's lives better.
Yeah. All right. So we, like I said, though, we do have some questions here from leftover from this week's mailbag. So let's go ahead and dive on in to that. So I'm trying to remember where we left off. All right. I know where we are. So we are at QBreezy12 writing, hey, Anthony, two questions this week. To what extent does Pelinka play this offseason conservative to maintain cap space for a shot at Giannis next offseason? And B, given the events preceding them, to you, what championship was sweeter, Dodgers or Lakers? We're NBA and World Series champions, baby. That's a pretty cool thing to talk about. But let's start with A, right? Letter A on this one, as far as whether Pelinka, you know, maybe keeps a couple bullets in the holster, just to see if they have a shot at a big time free agent next year. Do you think that's likely, or do you think he just goes all in on trying to repeat whatever he can possibly do to get there?
This is entirely speculative on my part, but
yeah,
there is
not to sound like Brian Windhorst,
but I don't think it's coincidence that all of the contracts seem to end around the same time. And so that flexibility, where, you know, there's been reports that the Lakers are trying to get Luol Deng's $5 million cleared off of their books as well. Mm-hmm. That's the position the Lakers are in, is that it can be a one or the other, or a mix of if there's one of their own free agents that they want to sign, but isn't interested in signing a one-year deal, wants a multi-year contract, there's flexibility to be able to do that. And then if the time comes and we're able to get somebody the following offseason and we need to make some moves, you know, we should be in a position to be able to make those moves. So that's what I like about our cap position, is that it's very fluid, very versatile, right? Similar to the team that we've been talking about. We can go in a number of different directions and approaches and aren't handicapped by anything. And so I'm excited about that. I don't know who's available, which max guy is attainable, if at all, or any of that, but we can go that route or we can go a couple of others. And that's a really good position to be in.
I think one thing to keep in mind, even if it isn't about Giannis specifically, but we have seen over the course of LeBron's tenure here with the Lakers, the value in just being flexible, you know, that so the yeah. Lakers are in kind of a unique situation compared to a lot of the teams that they're competing against in that short-term contracts, I don't think scare them as much as short-term contracts scare, you know, smaller market teams, right? If those smaller market teams, yes, the financial flexibility that comes with the short-term contract is great for the team building aspect, but there are also players that you want to be able to keep around, and some teams are less confident in their ability to keep guys around than others. And I think with the Lakers, when LeBron signs up for a 1-1, if he does that for the next contract, or AD in this offseason goes 1-1 or something like that, I think they're less concerned about whether or not AD is going to come back than most teams would be in that situation. And what that allows you to do is you maintain flexibility. And whenever that contract is now signed, whenever AD signs his longer Supermax contract, for example, the Lakers can know heading into signing that thing potentially, and maybe have a better idea heading into the offseason where he would be signing that Supermax contract, whether or not he would want to, than say like Milwaukee might right now with Giannis. So understanding more of that and feeling confident because of the success that they've had with Anthony Davis and because of the market that the Lakers exist in and the hold that they have, the stranglehold that they have on that market, they can operate in ways that other teams in this era of player empowerment cannot. They have a better sense of some of these things with guys that are in-house than most teams do. And I think that's something that is really going to help them in this Anthony Davis era. Let's take a quick second here. And when we come back, I'll answer A or B, because I've thought about this quite a bit. So we'll come back and we'll talk about whether or not the Lakers or Dodgers championship felt better. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Go. Look, there has been a lot going on in all of our lives lately. And that wall that we all tend to hit around 3-ish or 4-ish o'clock, maybe right after lunch for some, well, that wall has felt like it's been made out of adamantium or something insane like that. And it feels like there's nothing you can really do to get through it. But I'm telling you right now, Built Go has the product for you. It's like a 5-hour energy drink without the same crash feeling. They come in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint, and they come in these ounce and a half packages that are just packed to the brim with everything that you're going to need to not just break through that wall, but also not crash right after you do so. So head on over to builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED and you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED at builtgo.com for 20% off. That's builtgo.com. Let's go. I'll let you guess. Which one do you think feels better to me, Dodgers or Lakers?
I'd say Dodgers. I think it's got family ties, longer wait, more heartbreak where you almost got there. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to guess Dodgers.
I would agree, but it's closer than I might have thought. Like right after the Dodgers won it. Right after the Dodgers won it, I was like all in on this is the coolest thing in my sports life and all of that. And it's still up there. I think it still is the coolest thing of my sports lifetime. And then behind it is the Lakers beating the Celtics in game 7 in 2010. But the thing that, so with the Dodgers, like you talked about, like all the reasons that you mentioned, the family ties, how long it had been, the sense that like I might never get to see it is a big factor in that. But actually that also plays into the Lakers championship, because the Lakers championship came on the heels of maybe the lowest point in franchise history.
Right. We didn't think we were close. Whereas a Dodger fan, you knew you were close.
Yeah. It was like, and now there's more, I feel like the Dodgers series, like it was more earned because the game six in that series was such a nail biter throughout. The Lakers had game six wrapped up. It was game six, right? Or five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Game six. They had it wrapped up in the first quarter and, you know, that was done. So it was great because you just got to celebrate for three quarters or basically 45 minutes of just like getting the party going early. So that was, you know, a kind of fun experience, but the just unmitigated relief that came with Mookie Betts hitting that homer in the eighth inning was just
give a little bit of breathing room. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's when I knew that they were probably going to win it. And I remember I was watching the game with Jen and she's like, and Jen, you know, she grew up being more of an Angels fan in our time dating, especially when I was running Dodgers Nation, she became more of a Dodgers fan because that was paying the bills. And then it just kind of stuck. Like it's a team that when she sees me really passionate about it, and she isn't very passionate about the Angels, she now is more invested in Dodgers fandom. Even still though, she is nowhere near to the level of a Dodgers fan that I am. And she was like watching me watch the game and she's like, Fred, you're giving me anxiety. You need to calm the fuck down.
It's also baseball too, right? Like baseball is this pace of it. And
yeah.
I remember a lot of Dodger fans. Cause like toward the end, I started tweeting about it. And a lot of Dodger fans were like, God, I wish this was like basketball, like the nature of the sport. It's so nerve wracking.
Yeah. And so anyway, so Betts hits that homer and that's when like the emotions start stirring up, the tears kind of, my eyes start, gets a little dusty in the year when, and we just got a new fireplace. So obviously, you know, turning on the fireplace, we just got some dust, kicked up some dust in the in the old living room. And even like Jen's watching and she's like, I don't even like the Dodgers. And you're making me and Jen's like not emotional. She's basically Spock. Like she and Harrison are just two Spock type people. And so and she was saying that like, oh, man, I you're making me emotional on this. And then finally they win. And it was just waterworks. And I called my parents, couldn't even talk for like 2 minutes. And Jen's like, I got to go to bed. You're making me a wreck. So she goes to bed and I stayed up and I smoked a cigar. And while I was sitting out there, and I did think quite a bit about the Dodgers and Lakers and the similarities between them. And more, I think I'm kind of copping out on this. And I've said this before, more so than it's about like Lakers meaning more or Dodgers winning more to me. It's more, I know what it meant to the city. Like that's all I kept coming back to is like, as much as I'm a you know, the Dodgers have tortured me for 30 years. And as much as these last 7 years of Lakers fandom and just covering this team have been brutal, more than anything, it's just like, there are so many people in LA that have gone through so much this year that like, those are the people, you know, ourselves included to a, you know, probably lesser extent than most, but there are so many people for whom these championships going back to back in the matter of a month or a couple weeks, like going back to back like that meant the world to these people. And I can just imagine whether it's people who've been Dodgers fans since the 50s or kids who are just seeing their parents like celebrate in that way, whether it's Lakers fans who are mourning the loss of Kobe or again, just kids who watched their parents or anybody in between, like people who were just introduced to the Lakers this year with one of the most fun teams of our lifetimes. I just think for the entire spectrum of people in the city of Los Angeles, that was just it. That's all that really mattered to me. Whether or not one is means more to me is kind of a non-starter. I just thought for the city itself, it was just an incredibly special couple weeks.
It was. And I'm a very casual Dodger fan. So the Lakers championship means a lot more to me, but yeah, I was like really happy for Dodger fans and seeing that relief and joy and people celebrating with their dads you know, family and all of that. So yeah, for me, obviously the Lakers one is more meaningful. The one element I'd add to that is working, like covering the team And being a member of the team also is certainly cool in this dynamic as well. But there's a certain like professional like validation of what happened with the Lakers, where myself and other people and you, right, who cover the team, like if you're listening to this podcast, you listen to it for the 35, 40 minutes that it's on. You'll watch some videos or do your other Lakers stuff for the day, but you're doing other things for most of your day. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Anthony and I, and a lot of other people who cover the team, this is like what we do. This is what we do for hours upon hours. And so to see that kind of payoff, it's a different level to it of almost feeling like you're like, you know, I didn't score any points or do anything like that, but made a couple of the hype videos and I know some of the players liked it. And there's a certain, you know, like, hey, I, you know, I'm part of this in some small way when you cover the team, that added an extra layer of it being special for me.
Yeah. And actually really to that point, I only covered the Dodgers for less than a year or so. Cause my boss was such a psychopath, but the group of guys and there were a couple female blockers that were also really good. One of them has moved on and actually now works with MLB.com and she's fantastic. But, you know, guys that I got, you know, kind of the closest to, Eric Stevens of SB Nation, Chad Moriyama from Dodgers Digest, like those guys and Dodgers. Covering the Dodgers is kind of different from the Lakers in that every single game, every single night, basically it's a game. And the decisions in baseball are so obvious when they're made that so much of your time is devoted to, you know, reacting to people reacting to those decisions. Right. So I'm sitting there like, I saw, you know, Chad really going through it and Eric really going through it and just like kind of sitting back and enjoying the Dodgers winning that championship. And
love Chad. Yeah.
Like those guys are one, very fucking good at their job. And then, and then two, like they, in my opinion, cover the team the right way. And so watching them get to enjoy it was also pretty fantastic. All right. Let's really quickly segue over and introduce this player review with Alex Caruso. I'm going to cheaply do this for SEO. So there's a rumor out there for Jrue Holiday being on the trading block from New Orleans. And I kind of find myself, so initially, obviously you see the name, you get excited about the name and you start thinking about what that would look like on your team. And then you kind of like, the more I thought about it, Jrue Holiday is making, let me look it up. I meant to have this pulled up already, but Jrue Holiday is making $26 million. And I think that's for last year. And I was thinking like, isn't it just smarter to see what Alex Caruso is and see if he can be Jrue Holiday like, because they approach the game in very similar. Jrue Holiday is obviously significantly better, but I think Alex Caruso, like what he showed me this year was, I don't think the Lakers need to use so much to devote so much of their cap to a point guard, given what Caruso can do it at a fraction of the cost.
Yeah, I can't say too much about another team's player.
But no. I mean, in terms of the way Caruso approaches the game, like we don't even have to talk about Jrue Holiday, but I find myself thinking like, I think the Lakers are perfectly fine with Caruso.
Oh yeah. I mean, Caruso is an elite role player that fits perfectly with our two superstars, exactly. Right? He screens, he cuts, he plays hard. He's an excellent defender. He's got athleticism. He passes the ball. He does all of the things that are like, the in-between things, right? So he's exactly who you want as a bridge between your superstars doing dirty work. So yeah, I mean, I hope he's here for a long time.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick second when we come back. We'll kind of elaborate a little bit more on everything that Caruso gave, and then also look ahead to what we think he's capable of moving forward. But yeah, I just really kind of wanted to quickly myself address that rumor. And I think the Lakers, my prediction is he goes to Denver, but Jrue Holiday goes to Denver anyway, but But I think the Lakers are perfectly fine with the combination of guards that they have right now. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we will talk more specifically about Caruso. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off your first order, your second order, your third order, and however many orders you or your friends that you tell about this great product get to benefit from. They have great flavors, everything from caramel brownie. My personal favorite name is Cherry Barcia. The cookies and cream one is fantastic. And then they have the regular, you know, salted caramel is my original favorite flavor. And it's great no matter what you might be looking for. Are you looking to supplement a meal while you're trying to cut weight? Are you looking to have a little bit of extra protein to add to a meal if you're trying to gain weight? Are you trying to maintain weight by, you know, just having a nice healthy snack? It's going to be great for you. It's going to have you covered. So head on over again to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Feels almost fitting that, like, it's election night and we're talking about our bald eagle. So the year that Caruso had, I always like to start these discussions with the expectation heading into the year, right? And for me, the expectation or the hope with Caruso was we would find out whether or not he could be a starting point guard or a guard who takes up a significant amount of the important minutes for the Lakers. And I think he checked that box a few times over. I thought he was fantastic, given expectations heading into the season. Now he's going to have higher expectations next year. And that's always tricky when you're trying to figure out where those expectations sit. But given what we were hoping to see from Caruso this year, I don't know if he could have realistically had a much better year than he did.
Yeah, this was an A-plus season from him, right? I remember distinctly at the end of last season when we were in this disappointing year and we were out of the playoffs and kind of playing our end of the bench guys. Remember when he dropped 30 on the Clippers, on Lou Will and the Clippers, right? Yeah. And but beyond the dropping 30, just like how he played, how he fit with LeBron, he got called up in March or so. I remember distinctly being like, I think this guy's a rotation player. Yeah. Like we had initially been like, hey, I think this guy's, he's an NBA player. He's shown himself to right. be an NBA player. And then it was like, actually, I think he's a rotation player. And then, and then that continued, right? Like that progression from that type of status to starter in game six of the NBA finals.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was what, top 10 in guard votes because we're crazy. And it was just a wonderful year for a guy who's earned every inch of NBA real estate that he's got.
That's one of my favorite aspects of Caruso is that, like, obviously the top level talent, LeBron James was picked first overall. Anthony Davis picked first overall. Dwight Howard picked first overall. At one point in his career, JaVale McGee looked like one of kind of the better up and coming centers that the league had to offer. Remember the series he had against the Lakers when he was a Nugget? It was mad.
Absolutely.
He was dunking
battle against Bynum, I think.
Yeah, he was dunking everything. And you know, there's so much of that top end talent here that it's kind of funny to see this kind of plug and play point guard who went undrafted and kind of toiled behind Tyler Ennis and Rajon Rondo. And you see, you know, all of that kind of hope and sometimes blind belief in this player. And he winds up being the player that we thought he was going to be. Like, that
very doesn't gratifying.
Happen very often.
Absolutely not.
So in terms of like his actual season, was there anything that you thought he, you know, can really improve on? Now he's what, 25 years old right now? I think
he's like 27. Yeah.
All right. He's even older. So he's 27 years old right now. And he's getting to that stage of his career where hoping for too much improvement from this point on is maybe asking a little bit, but do you think there are ways that he can take strides forward?
I do. He's 26. I just looked. Yeah. And it's his three ball, right? If he can become he doesn't have to be a knockdown sniper, but if he can become a league average catch and shoot guy, we saw some improvement in his playmaking. There was more and more two-man game with AD in the playoffs. He had a lot of excellent two-man game with LeBron throughout the season. They had side pick and rolls where I saw his ball handling really improve. He was less turnover prone than he used to be, even though he'd have his little stretches where he'd have like three turnovers in 90 seconds. That's kind of the bad Caruso. But if he can, in the playoffs, if I remember correctly, at one point, fairly late into the playoffs, he was the worst or amongst the worst of the catch and shoot guys in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And so if he can just become average at that, I think that would be, and I think that's attainable. He's got some, and he showed flashes of that. Part of that is he plays so hard on defense that that'll be a strength and conditioning component where he's got to make sure he's not getting tired and then he's got the legs to be that. But if I could add one thing to his game, it's just become an average catch and shoot 3-point shooter and you'd be in great shape.
Would you say that's as important, less important, or more important than him becoming better in the pick and roll?
I think it's more important because I think when it comes down to the most important games, LeBron's going to have the ball. Yep. AD's going to have the ball. He's not going to have too many possessions where it's like, all right, Alex Caruso, go get us a shot in game five of this series.
If that's going on, we're in trouble.
maybe, right? It's not going to happen that much. But there will be plenty of situations where he's on the court with those two guys and they've collapsed the defense and the defense is intentionally helping off of him because he's got the reputation as the weakest shooter of the five. Those are going to happen a lot more often than those ball screen situations. So I'd pick the 3-point shooting.
Yeah, I completely agree. One thing I would like to see with Caruso in regards to his shooting, if I could just kind of nitpick, is I feel like he gets a little narrow. Like I feel like he gets pretty upright and narrow with his shot. He has a very high release for a catch and shoot type shooter. So what that is naturally going to do is it's going to make you kind of stand up a little bit straighter and your base is going to be a little bit more narrow. And like we saw the impact that Kuzma shooting with a wider base had on him. And I kind of feel like with Caruso, if he could find a way to widen that base a little bit more and stabilize himself, because like when he shoots it the way he does with such a high release, there's more muscles being utilized in that. Cause it's not as stable a platform that the ball is being released from. And if you are not particularly stable up top, you have to over adjust with stability down below.
Yeah, that stability is and this makes sense intuitively, right? If you put your feet together and someone gives you a shove, you're going to be more easily knocked over than if your feet are shoulder width apart, right? Yeah. And so when your feet are too close apart, you'll be a lot more prone to left, right type of misses because you're a little more wobbly. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's a very good point about his stance.
Yep. But I agree with you in regards to, you know, what he could improve on. His role next year is going to be kind of interesting depending on which guards the Lakers have in their rotation next year. But, you know, for where we're standing right now and where Caruso came from, it's just a fantastic story. First and foremost, Caruso is, and it's we'll just have to see where he goes next season. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. We have one more show to go this week, so we'll find another player to review or keep an eye on other news stories from around the league. But please continue to be safe out there. Like we said earlier, it's a very emotionally charged election. There are going to be people reacting to probably tonight's decision. I think the decision is going to come down tonight. Please be safe out there, however it is that you're reacting to this, so that we can continue to hopefully celebrate what has been a pretty cool month for Los Angeles. Have a great rest of your day. Make some noises.